Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
Hey guys, I'm Nadia.
And I'm Shabazz. We're just popping up with some essential news.
The brand new series of Doctor Who has begun.
And that means the official Doctor Who podcast is here.
Whether you're a Whovian or a Newvian, you are so welcome. This is the place where we dissect every episode, explain all the Easter eggs, and bring you some exclusive content too.
Plus, we'll have fabulous special guests and Doctor Who mega fans.
So come and find us. It's the official Doctor Who podcast.
Listen wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Talk about madness. This is one place where such words should be spoken. It's normal to be weird, to be mad.
Welcome to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service. I'm Felicity Finch, and this week I'm following a new play highlighting bipolar disorder called Mad Women.
I hope this play could help to fight the stigma, particularly about bipolar disorder, and help people to understand that mental health conditions are more common than what they think.
That's the play's Chilean playwright and director, Constanza Ola Shami.
I always say that I write not to be mad, to avoid madness, which is quite ironic, right?
Mad Women is a unique creative experiment, a fictional portrayal of the struggles of the highs and lows of mental health experienced by three outstanding early 20th century female Latin American artists. What's different about this production is that the international creative team are working on two parallel versions of the play simultaneously, one with the professional cast and the other with women from a local community who either themselves have experienced mental health challenges or someone close to them will have done.
I love that it doesn't hide from, you know, taboos and it's women saying exactly how they feel, and I think that's so kind of rare and brave of something to do, and to be part of that is a brilliant opportunity.
The three women the play portrays are Mexican painter Frida Kahlo, who with her instantly recognisable monobrow is an iconic figure, known for her uncompromising and vividly coloured self-portraits. Chilean visual artist and singer-songwriter Violeta Parra was renowned in Latin America, travelling across Chile recording and preserving traditional songs. And the third woman is the less well-known but important Colombian painter Judith Márquez.
I chose these three women in particular because their art is so inspiring. I could relate to that because myself, as an artist with mental health challenges, they had kind of hectic journeys in terms of mental health, and they had to face a society that was not compassionate. Their lives were... I don't want to diagnose anyone because I'm nobody to do that. And back then, bipolar disorder wasn't something that exists in terms of diagnosis. But their lives were pretty similar to the journey that you would have if you live with bipolar. So this project always wanted to include women from underserved and underrepresented groups with mental health challenges.
Wanting to include women's experiences of mental health in the play, Constanza has reached out to a local East London community, holding research and development workshops with them.
The conversations were, like, amazing, to be honest. So inspiring. In the end, the text was much more collaborative than what was initially thought. For example, there is a sentence. They say, "Sometimes I just want to go to bed and cry," because they were describing how their mental health felt when they had kids and the society judged them. That was really powerful.
"No, no, it wasn't my fault. Yes, yes. Sometimes I don't know all the answers. I just go to my bedroom and cry."
It's mid-February, and having incorporated some of the ideas from the workshops into her script...
Hi, I'm Felicity.
Constanza has just started rehearsals.
Nice to meet you too. Are you one of the community cast?
Yeah.
This is Ivan, who is our musician, directly from Chile.
Nice to meet you.
Very good to meet you too.
I'm Maria Francesco.
I'm Valentine Baudet.
How are you feeling at this point? I know it's only the second evening of rehearsals.
Excited that everyone's energy is so great. We're all so excited to be here, you can tell.
And very proud to be part of a project that is brave enough to talk about these topics.
About mental health.
Yeah. Mental health, womanhood, women in art, all of these topics.
Yeah, and rather than kind of just showing one particular side of like being a woman, it shows so many sides to it, and I think that's so kind of rare. I've always kind of dreamed of being Frida as a queer, disabled kind of icon. I relate to her in many ways. As a very young kid, it was seeing someone else famous with a monobrow and a moustache as a hairy Greek child. I was like, oh my gosh, a monobrow. And then as I got a bit older and I knew she was queer and an artist, that resonated with me. And then when I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and for a while I couldn't walk, I was stuck in bed, and I was trying to do some painting in bed, and I've got that piece of art I did. I called it my Frida at the time because she did so much of her art while bedbound. And for all the stages of my life, I found more and more reason to resonate with her. I'm Frida. Frida. Frida means peace in German. Paz en Español. I've never been in peace. I've never been peaceful. I was born an oxymoron.
So, Maria, you're gonna stop when Frida says, then, when I was 18, I got on a bus.
Would that be so? Because it says I'm Frida, but I'm not saying I am Frida.
I'm Frida.
I'm Frida, okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Every time that you speak, move and then speak. And remember, I'm your audience. So I need to listen to you. And you're telling me your story. If I'm telling my story, I want everybody to listen to me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be telling my story, right? They're talking because they want to be heard. So we need to embody that, okay?
I was born in the countryside, far away from here, far from everywhere. I used to get lost in the forest and run, barefoot, feeling the stones under my feet and the wind on my face. It was called wet. Sometimes I close my eyes and still see those huge tree trunks. I dodge them as if they were devils trying to catch me, and I run. I keep running. I've always kept on running.
You're listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service, following the production of the play Mad Women, a fictional portrayal of the mental health challenges faced by the Mexican painter Frida Kahlo, Chilean singer-songwriter and visual artist Violeta Parra, and Colombian painter Judith Marquez. As well as working with a community cast of women, Chilean director and playwright Constanza Olachami and her international team are also working in parallel with a professional cast on the same play. However, each version is being directed differently in order to adapt to the individual casts. As an actor myself, I'm intrigued by how all this is working.
Should we actually read it?
Perdona por romperte el corazón de esta manera.
I'm sorry for breaking your heart like this.
Pardonne-moi d'être vous visser le cœur de cette manière.
Perdona el dolor que te causa esto.
I'm sorry for the pain I'm causing you.
Pardon pour le dolor que je t'ai provoqué.
Pero ya no puedo más.
But I can't keep going on like this.
Me son, je peux plus.
I've been painting all morning, trying to bring some life to this darkness.
People who have lost part of their heart.
We have Mariana, who's playing Judith. Samantha, who's playing Violeta. Jimena, who is playing Frida.
I like to see and feel, more than see, how the community, this little community, is
like knitting something together, and you feel the energy of everybody, and you see like, oh, we are going there, how we are going to do it. And it's exciting, it's also a very, like, I think it's going to be a memorable experience for us. Also because it's a very Latin American team, like not all of us are Latin Americans.
A lot of us.
But a lot of us, so
which
I think...
It's wonderful.
Yeah, I think it's so important, and maybe it's going to set a precedent for other creations.
And you're all from the country that your character is from.
Yes.
Viva Mexico!
From Colombia.
Uh-huh. And Chile.
Yeah.
I feel like the professional cast is more, like they are providing more inputs because they know about movement, so I'm leaving them more freedom in the way of moving around, of making these kind of decisions, of trying things. The community cast needs much more direction, and in terms of me telling them, okay, let's try this, let's do this, let's move this way, and they're happy for that. And I feel like from the community is more honest, you know, they're not necessarily acting. We had this conversation yesterday and I was like, you are actors, because they were worried about like who to invite and that some people could be triggered, particularly some members of their families could be triggered with some stuff. They didn't want to be judged. And I was like, guys, this is different. This is, first of all, this is not your life. This is a text. Secondly, you are not the characters. And that's the beautiful thing about theater. You represent something that you are not, and whoever comes to see you has a suspended disbelief and understands that that is something that you are performing, but that's not real.
It sounds very involved, just the task of directing both casts. How are you managing to hold everything in your head of what's going on, the different rehearsals? It's a really big undertaking.
I'm not managing, actually. At the moment, I'm a mess. But I don't tell them. I have a lot of support from my assistant director and the movement director.
So they're keeping track if you lose it of where you're moving, what you're doing.
Yes, I can show you. In my bag, you have like 3 scripts and then some notes. And this is what Lydia has been doing for me. So it's like basically transition from the play. But every time that character moves, she has done like a drawing of that.
A little map of where they are on the stage.
A little map.
We've had a really short amount of time to create this and to block it, and it felt really important because I was noticing that there were subtle changes in kind of everyone's memory. Last time I was here, this, that,
one. I type one.
Which one?
When I had the eyebrow, we both had a paneling.
We've never done this, right? So this is what we're doing.
Okay.
So before we had the panel. And then the really wonderful thing that's happened outside of this now is that the characters are finding their own movement, and that's really exciting to me.
Here we are rehearsing in the heart of London, where you've assembled a very international production team and creative team,
yes.
Many of whom are from Latin American countries, and there's lots of Spanish flying around in the rehearsal space all the time. Why do you want this? What do you feel it brings to the creative process that it's a very internationally collaborative team?
It brings madness, and everything is about madness in this project, you know. It gives like this kind of spice in a way, you know, and it has been a really interesting process because then, and the musician doesn't speak English and the movement director doesn't speak Spanish. But it's funny because they can communicate, you know, and then sometimes we're translating, and today I was speaking in Spanglish. But to be honest, I mean, mad in a good way, because you can create beautiful things like that come from madness.
So my next question, you've called the play Mad Women, which by some people might seem a very provocative title.
And some other think that is pejorative. But yes, I think it is a provocative title, and I want it to be, because it immediately put a question mark in your audience.
But also, it's about reivindicating a concept that has been pejorative, especially for women. Like talking about madness and especially talking about women's mental health shouldn't be a taboo.
Oh, the worst disorder is being unable to detach from bad ideas.
Bipolar.
A roller coaster.
Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, 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 down. My whole existence has been the opposite of what I'm singing.
A couple of weeks before the first public performance for the community cast, I get an unexpected voice note from Constanza.
We have just finished rehearsals and it was quite emotional because the community member I spoke to earlier announced to the rest of the team that it was a hard decision but that she needs to leave. Everybody was really supportive and she was really sad. She said that she really wanted to stay.
Next time I meet Constanza, she tells me more about why Valentine felt she had to leave.
She had too much going on at the moment and she got more workload in her jobs than what she was expecting. So she had a chat with me and she was like, I don't want to leave the project, but at the same time I am concerned that is going to affect my mental health. Mm-hmm. And I basically said, well, this project is all about helping people with their mental health and not basically going against mental health of certain people. So we decided that the best thing for her was like stepping aside.
But luckily for the play, a friend of one of the production team, Basha, has volunteered to take on the role.
I'm feeling very grateful, very anxious as well. It's like all the feelings that once in my head and my heart. They have learned their lines, the other two, you know, and I was like, wow, not even the professional cast has gone that far. So I'm very pleased with them. We are slower than expected in terms of rehearsing, but I feel they need to feel confident so they wouldn't if we were rushing.
Do you feel doing the play is therapeutic in any way for you?
It definitely is. Struggling so much with my disability, and then as it was only a few years I've been diagnosed, and definitely with acting, I always, you know, had in the back of my head, sometimes the middle, that my health might get in the way. You know, I have to find a job that's just about money in case something goes wrong with my health and I need money. And I definitely felt like I couldn't live a creative life as I wanted to because of my health. But doing this, it's everything I love. It's exciting. It's physical, but in representing Frida through that, I felt like she's carrying me through it.
Maria Montoya, my so-called mother, says she loves me, but the me without anxiety or depression. So which part of me does she love? The strong, independent woman. The one who eats the world. Not the one who struggles to fight the world in her own head.
My name is Basha Talago-Jones, and I am 24, about to be 25 next week.
Having just taken over the role of Colombian artist Judith Marquez, Basha tells me how much she sees of herself in the character.
We're kind of theorising that they all had potentially bipolar or ADHD. And I think in terms of ADHD, yes. There is this one line that I loved. It's like eccentric, impulsive, and maybe a little bit neurotic. And I'm like, aha, yes, maybe a little bit, yes. A tad of that me. So yeah, I think I do relate to her the most out of the three of them. I'm very grateful to be able to do this. And it's kind of alignment because I'm not personally doing any therapy right now, but this is kind of a form of it, but in a really energy exuding way rather than just talking. You know, sometimes you have to show that emotion or feel that emotion, and I think there's nothing also more therapeutic than having moments of connection. I think the audience will probably relate to a lot of it because most people have gone through something within this script.
A few days later, I'm back in the East End of London in St. Margaret's House, an arts and well-being charity hub where their rehearsal room continues to provide a safe space for the community cast. As well as having a counsellor available for anyone who may need them, each session always starts with a check-in on how everyone's feeling. First up tonight is Maria, playing Frida Kahlo.
I've been on a high today, even though I'm very tired. Physically, I've been a bit in pain. Yesterday kind of carried me through. I'm a bit worried about I was going through the lines again, and on Sunday I'm going to have to, in front of my dad, talk about having sex. And
with a woman,
yeah, just the reality of some days kind of been kicking in. But apart from that, I've been feeling really positive.
I wonder how Constanza is feeling.
I'm feeling very tired, but very positive, because I had a couple of days that I was overwhelmed, and like, as a director, you feel that all the responsibilities are on your shoulders, and when it's like midway through, it's like, okay, are we going to make it? But I can't say that because I need to show that I'm super confident. But after those 2 days of collapse, I'm fine now and I'm tired, but I'm very confident and everybody seems to be really happy.
Despite the exhaustion of putting on these productions, Constanza hopes that it's a model that can travel around the world.
These kind of issues are still like a taboo in many places, especially women don't have access to mental health support. So there is an interest that has surprised me, not only in Latin America, because I thought there was going to be an interest in bringing the play to Latin America, you know, but even in India, because it's like we want to talk about it. And I have a very good friend who is a producer and is a feminist in India, and she's like, we need to bring it.
So you're hoping that the play will be seen internationally?
I don't hope. I'm sure it will.
A $6 billion con.
It didn't take long for it to spread like wildfire.
You got to take a look at this really crazy gold stock. A buddy of mine got in at a dime.
Which destroyed lives and devastated communities.
Every little town across the nation, people have shares in this.
We lost everything.
And to date, no one has been brought to justice.
Somebody knows more than we know.
The $6 billion gold scam. From the BBC World Service and CBC. Search for the $6 billion gold scam wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Saturday, the 23rd of March, and both casts are arriving at Richmix in London's trendy Shoreditch area. It's the first time they're performing as a double bill. The community cast first, followed by the professional cast. I can hear Basha getting some advice from Mariana and Hermina from the professional cast.
I feel like I got so nervous last week and that's why I needed the script more. Like, I felt like I actually knew the words more than, I played last week. I'm just going to try not to think about it too much.
Yeah, basically. But also if you forget, you forget, and then that's it. And nothing happens. Do you know what I mean? Like, the world doesn't end.
Yeah,
if you forget, breathe.
Okay.
We also sometimes forget.
My biggest fear now is just freezing if the fog gets in the way. So I will concentrate on breathing and being Hudita, not Basha.
One of the actors has just told me some unexpected news. They've lost another community cast member today who was playing the narrator. However, one of the production team, Mairead, has stepped forward to read the part.
I feel grateful and quite glad that it was quite last minute because I was assistant producer for the community cast but hadn't thrown myself into what I view as a more vulnerable part of the acting. Being thrown into it quite last minute was a really good thing for me because I live with OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, and I struggle with uncertainty, but it's part of recovery to like be able to embrace that uncertainty, so I had to do that with this. Obviously the play's about bipolar disorder and I live with obsessive compulsive disorder, but I guess just disorder and life feeling quite unbearable sometimes, or overwhelming at least, with high levels of anxiety and emotion really. So I think that that's been really relatable for me, the ups and downs of life and kind of cyclical natures of mental illnesses.
The community cast go on stage for their technical run through.
As a general rule for lights on stage, and if you feel like you're blind by the light, that's where you're hit by the light and the audience can see you. So if the light hurts you, that's a red spot.
Nice.
If you try to avoid it, you're moving in the shadow. Are we good to go? Fantastic.
We're here! Finally! I'm so grateful. I think you're amazing, and I think you're going to smash it. Remember what I said yesterday? If you don't have fun on stage, nobody will. So just have fun. Thank you, Maria, for jumping in.
Yes,
I love you. And I'm very proud of you.
I want to kick a stone.
No, I want to kick a rock, like the volcano I have stuck in my chest. I want to merge in order to be myself, that
dark
part that I hide, that
dark
part that nobody would like, because nobody likes sadness. Nobody likes distress.
Despite their nerves, the performance goes smoothly and they get a great audience reaction.
When I'm distressed,
how did you feel it went?
Amazing. That was the best it's ever gone. The audience, they were laughing, they were interacting, and it was great. I've never felt so connected to the text as I did then. And I never want to take off my outfit ever.
You're Frida Kahlo.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to live like Frida now.
It let me just, yeah, embrace this uncertainty and go with the flow. And I think that's what the most healthy part of creativity is, but it's a part of creativity that I've struggled to tap into because of my anxiety levels and the ways I think at certain times. So yeah, it feels like a rush of emotions and release and creativity, and I just feel really glad to be part of it.
I feel so proud. They have been amazing. They have done such a great job. I mean, I'm a bit overwhelmed, but in a positive way. I mean, they were like just stars, to be honest.
I think overall, in terms of self-confidence, it's been a massive, massive step. I feel vastly different to what I did a month ago. The whole bit about mothers and just womanhood and mothers and like being able to play out all these nuances and kind of like, in some ways cruelties, but also in some ways very real parts of life of being a mother and how difficult that is. I think that that's really like cathartic. It is very therapeutic, but in the most kind of creative and not over analytical way, it's really beautiful.
You've been listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service with the cast and production team of Mad Women. The programme was produced and presented by me, Felicity Finch, and the executive producer is Andrea Kidd.
A $6 billion con.
It didn't take long for it to spread like wildfire.
You got to take a look at this really crazy gold stock. A buddy of mine got in at a dime.
Which destroyed lives and devastated communities.
Every little town across the nation, people have shares in this.
We lost everything.
And to date, no one has been brought to justice.
Somebody knows more than we know.
The $6 billion gold scam. From the BBC World Service and CBC. Search for the $6 billion gold scam wherever you get your podcasts.